John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Monday. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe on the west side of town in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Let's say hello and good morning to Teron Davenport. He's
What's
the NFL.
What's going on?
Hello, sorry, Teron. Morning. I had to catch my breath. I was running around before we started this hour. NFL Nation reporter, covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. So what do you make of the NFL, you know, for the most part, is acting like, hey, we plan on it's going to be business as usual this upcoming season. Surprised? Not surprised at all.
I'm not surprised. The show must go on. That's their approach. But I think it's good to go ahead and release the schedule, and you could always tweak it from there. So that's the way you have to look at it. And I don't have a problem with that. I think it's a smart business move.
When do you think we're going to know a little bit more about, you know, training camp, fans in the stands, you know, some of the other particulars? When do you think – I think London, it's pretty – you know, that's all going to go away. That's going to be – that's going to go away in 2020, but – but overall, when do you think we'll learn a little bit more about what is their plan for conducting, I guess, as they say, business as usual?
Man, there's no telling. I mean, this what we're going through is unprecedented. So it's really hard for me, especially me, to sit here and say when. I mean, I say this. I'm glad the whole London thing is out of it because it's just a mess from a logistical standpoint for everyone involved. So that, to me, is a positive. But I couldn't tell you. I guess late June, early July, maybe you'll have a better picture. But who knows how things could work out once the weather starts getting colder. We know that's something that, you know, they're weighing in as well. So there's so many variables. So who knows?
Do you think we're going to be over there for training camp at the end of July or no?
I hope and pray we are. I mean, I miss it. You know, I miss being out there and covering it and seeing the guys do what they do, man. So I'm praying that we are because, like I said, I miss it badly.
What do you make of guys like Jameis Winston and now Andy Dalton, what they've done in their careers and going to – it's one thing to go as backups, but to go backup Drew Brees – and Dak Prescott, are you a little surprised? To me, when you've got spots out there that, you know, like Jacksonville or Pittsburgh or others where it just seems like it would make a little bit more sense, well, right, like it could be just one thing could go wrong and it would be easy to see that, and they're right back into a starting role. But the only way they're getting in the game, you know, in New Orleans or Dallas is if those starting quarterbacks are hurt.
Yeah, I think in the case of Jameis, what he did actually was a very wise decision. You know, he went over to a place that has done a really good job of developing quarterbacks. You know, obviously Drew Brees, he went there and he got better when he went to the Saints from the Chargers. But if you look at it, it's more conducive towards his success, right, when I talk about Winston, because now, you know, he could sit back and he could learn the game a little bit better. Not even learn the game, but just sit back and just observe and take everything in from a situation where, as he said, is a really good quarterback room. I think that gives him a chance to have everything slow down, and I think it's a good thing for him because if he would have just hopped into the next opportunity and it's not the right opportunity, guess what? He's gone. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick Matt Glennon could stick around for a while, Mike Glennon, but a guy like Jameis Winston, Geno Smith, those type of guys, they can't stick around. They're not going to get ongoing opportunities like some of these other guys will get. So you have to hit at the right spot. And I think what he did going to the Saints was good, and that's going to lead to a better opportunity down the road. Now, as far as Andy Dalton, I think he just really he wanted to go home. He expressed interest. He's the one that expressed interest in the Cowboys. So for him, I think it's a good situation because he's going there. Who knows what happens with Dak, right? And let's say the Cowboys somehow mess that situation up. Now Andy Dalton is in a really good position to take over for a team that you know, he wanted to go to. So I think both guys did a good job of picking their spots, and it gives them a chance to just sit back and observe and just relax and refocus.
What did you make of the decision by John Robinson last week not to pick up the fifth year of Corey Davis, who was the fifth pick overall in the 2017 draft, but pick up the fifth year option on Adoree Jackson, who was the 18th pick in the 2017 draft?
Yeah, well, with those two draft positions that you mentioned, there are two different scales as far as the pay is concerned. So, you know, Corey Davis being a top five pick, you know, for pick 1 through 10, that number is different. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at $15.6 million, $15.8 million, I don't think that really matches what Corey Davis does. And that's no knock on Corey Davis because he is a contributor, but not at $15.8 million. So I get it. I understand why they did that. And who knows? You know, Ryan Tannehill said that he would like to get Corey Davis involved during the season. He admitted missing him at times. So maybe they connect, and maybe Corey Davis puts himself in a position to be able to come back on a nice contract. More than likely, he's going someplace else, in my opinion, but yeah, that remains to be seen. I think Adoree Jackson was a really good option. They had to do that because, you know, Adoree, he's trending up, you know, and at $10.2 million, that's extreme value.
How about Myles Garrett, the only one that had his fifth year picked up of the top five picks, as you mentioned, a little bit different pay scale, but Fournette, Solomon Thomas, Trubisky, all those teams, and Davis, four of the top five picks, their teams that drafted them that high have told them, yeah, we're not picking up your fifth year.
Yeah, and it's crazy because up until this class, like from 2011 to 2016, only eight out of 30 top five picks did not have their option picked up. So this is something that's, you know, you see four of it. You see half of that in 1 year, you know. So it is something that is somewhat unprecedented. But, you know, it just goes to show you that not everything is a guarantee.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're talking Titans. Teron, I want to go back to Corey Davis for a minute. We had a heck of a debate on this. And when I realized what you just pointed out, that when you're the fifth pick, it costs you a lot more, 15.7. I don't think anybody would sign up for that. But I do believe that he, and I think you're going along the same lines as I am, that he's a viable guy that you'd like to have on this team beyond this coming season. So how do they bridge that gap, and how do they find, and do you think this is something that might be on a priority list for John Robinson to try to come to to the right price, so that you're not paying 15.7, but you're satisfying Corey Davis that he's a viable part and he's going to be here long term? What do you think the numbers would look like?
I think the numbers would have to be, you know, in the 10 million range. But here's the thing: not only do the numbers have to be right financially, Corey Davis has to do what's right for him, right? And
right,
you know, I know I personally, if I was in that situation, I'd be very frustrated. And I'm sure to a degree Davis is frustrated. He's just not voicing it. But it's all about opportunity. Receivers want to catch the football, right? They want to touch the football, and he's not getting that opportunity for whatever reason. So I'm sure, you know, a team like the Saints, the Chiefs type of extra appealing to him.
You know, that's an interesting way of looking at it. It's a lot of confidence in himself, but at the same time, the numbers are the numbers. So is there a part where maybe his inner circle, his agent, his family would say, okay, that could be true, Corey, but at the same time, if there's a secure deal where you're getting a decent amount of guaranteed money, long term. I make the case that, you know, it just, he hasn't had that year yet where things fall right, he stays healthy, and he does maybe get a few more balls thrown his way. He could have a 1,000-yard season for sure. So I don't know. The grass could be greener on the other side, but I think there's something to be said for a guy in the right role at the right price, even if it's not a superstar level.
Yeah, I mean, the grass could be greener, but, you know, let's look at the facts, right? He had 891 yards in 2018, and, you know, Derrick Henry went crazy at the back end of that year. You know what he did that December, but had it not been for that, Corey Davis would have been a 1,000-yard receiver. So it's definitely, the potential is there. People know that he could play. I mean, he has that top five sticker on him too. So teams will make an effort to sign him. I think if he hit the market, he would be an attractive free agent. And I don't think he would be out there for a long time. I think a team would scoop him up. So for him, the opportunities, that's not something that he should be worried about, right? He shouldn't feel forced to do a deal with the Titans, because there will be other opportunities. And hey, who knows, you know, he could go home to Chicago, right, and play for the Bears and Matt Nagy's offense. That would be good for him.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one to track as we go forward here. So, Teron, I know you appreciate the history of the league. Today, sad news about Don Shula passing away at age 90. But what an unbelievable legacy he left. The more I think about it, one thing that comes to mind for me is he just provided a template, you know, for how to build a program, how to coach an NFL team. So many people, I'm sure, have been influenced by how he did things. Give us your perspective on Don Shula.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first thing I think of is the flawless record, right? But, yeah, you're right. My perspective on Don Shula is a guy who has success over decades. You know what I mean? And I think that's remarkable, be able to have the degree of success he had in the 70s, the 80s, then the 90s. I think that's outstanding. There really isn't much more you could say about him. You look at all the things that he did, right? Finding ways to win without a legitimate threat at running back, right? With Dan Marino, you know, you can't say enough about him. I mean, you look at the Marx brothers, what he was able to do with them. You look at just that Killer Bees defense. Don Shula is a legend. Now, I would say he's a top five coach of all time. You know, Bill Walsh, I think, has to be up there, Belichick as well. But after that, you know, Lombardi, I mean, Don Shula, is up there with all of them.
Talking to Teron Davenport of ESPN, the NFL Nation Titans reporter. For them and TD, before I ask my question, enjoyed Friday night on Facebook Live with Nate Washington. I think we could have let him go for a couple of hours with all the stories he was telling.
That was
a lot of fun to be a part of.
Oh, that was hilarious. The Randy Moss story had me cracking up. Multiple ones.
If you missed it, we have that on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. We actually plan to air that a little later on this week. So I saw that the little blurb that you did, the ESPN power rankings for all 32 NFL teams, the Titans are listed at 8th in the power rankings, and you wrote the blurb on a player that benefits the most post-draft would be Khalif Raymond, because they didn't pick up a receiver. You and I talked a lot about him over the course of the season on Chase and TD, but I tend to agree with you. Khalif Raymond has a great opportunity now with the Titans.
Yeah, he has a tremendous opportunity with the Titans. And, you know, going into the draft, everything was all about getting speed, right? Jalen Reagor, KJ Hamler, these are all guys that, you know, Devin Duvernay, Darnell Mooney, these are all guys that were associated with the Titans because it gave speed. And here's the thing. They had speed on the roster all along in Khalif Raymond and Cam Batson, and they didn't add anybody. So that shows, especially for Khalif Raymond, that shows that they have a belief in him. And I'll just point to the Ravens game. I'll point to the Colts game and the big catches he had. Play action. It's all about finding big plays off of play action. And look, man, Raymond comes through when they go to him, and that's what they need. And I think he's going to have a productive season. Now, what that is not the same as a productive season for a Corey Davis or for an A.J. Brown, but for him specifically in that role, I think he's going to have an outstanding season, and it's great for him because that means the opportunities are going to be there, and they believe in him.
John Robinson has kind of become known for finding players like Khalif Raymond, these players you've never heard of that maybe other teams had and they passed on, and the players that were just viewed as, okay, they're not going to make it, they're going to be practice squad guys, and then just fade off into oblivion. But he has had a knack for finding these guys, and I feel like Mike Vrabel loves players like that, because I'll use a phrase that you like to bring up, especially when we talk about Raymond, you see his ribs, just how hungry they are. That seems to be the Mike Vrabel special.
Yeah, and you know, what the Mike Vrabel special is, someone who loves football. And when you're at the point where Khalif Raymond was, you know, practice squad, getting released, getting signed, you clearly love the game because you haven't given it up, despite a lot of signs pointing towards you probably should, you know, and he stuck it out. So, yeah, I mean, it's the love of football, and that's what Vrabel likes. Loves in any player, you know, he loves their passion for the game. He even loves it in the media folks too.
Yes, he does. I know that Mike Vrabel has, when he's been asked about this, about the off-season program having to do everything virtually, you know, he's given a pretty solid Mike Vrabel type answer if he's not that worried about it. But what concerns do you have is now they've gone through this for about a week with some of the rookies as they try to get acclimated?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you really have to like about Mike Vrabel is he's not going to get overly concerned with what he can't control. Now, as far as the concerns for this rookie class, really it's all about getting in and getting comfortable. Right now, well, as of now, the offensive linemen haven't been incorporated in those Zoom calls. Well, as of last week, we'll put it that way. So that's something that they have to get going. Isaiah Thomas – or Wilson, I always say that. Isaiah Wilson's going to be expected to come in and contribute, you know, and compete immediately. You can't fully compete if you don't have the playbook down and your assignments down. So that's a tough thing for him. Christian Fulton's going to be expected to come in and be able to play as a slot corner as well as on the outside. You have to know that defense and be able to play fast at both of those positions. So I think that's the big thing, just the transition. Even Darrington Evans, you know, everybody's going to be expected to contribute. So you can't do that unless you comfortably have the playbook down. So they're losing valuable time. A lot of guys, they learn the game on the field, right? The classroom is great because it helps you understand things, but you really learn on the field being able to actually execute what it is you're being asked to do. And that's what they're losing out on right now. So, yeah, it's definitely something that could hurt them.
What do you got on tap this week?
This week, we couldn't do a show last week, so we're going to follow up with what we're going to do last week. And we're going to have George Foster, former Georgia offensive lineman. He's actually like a big brother to Isaiah Wilson. So we'll have him on. And then I'm going to, you know, phone a friend. I'm going to bring in my guy, Gene Clemens, from Football Game Plan. Really good X and O guy. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things the Titans could do up front as far as being able to scheme pressure.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for the visit. Have a great week.
Yeah, appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com, talking with TD. Is the podcast. You should go check it out. We'll come back, touch a little bit more, or talk a little bit more about what we just discussed on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto.
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.